I'm Robert Bloomfield, Nicholas Noyes Professor of Management and Professor of Accounting at the S.C. Johnson Graduate School of Management here at the Cornell S.C. Johnson College of Business. My newest work starts with a simple observation. In accounting, there isn't much difference between business performance and moral performance. Our job as accountants is to make sure people live up to their obligations, like paying their debts and performing their duties, and we prevent fraud, corruption, and embezzlement. That doesn't just make business better, it makes the world a more moral place. And on the flip side, if we want people to live up to their moral obligations, we can take a lot of useful guidance from the accounting principles we've already hammered out for business obligations. What is moral accounting? Moral accounting views everyone as a steward, working on behalf of society. This has a moral flavor because it focuses on how people are benefiting others, not just themselves. But it's still very much accounting because we still ask, what assets give this steward the power to direct events, and what obligations come with those assets? Are they using their assets wisely? Are they living up to their obligations? How can we hold them to account in ways that make them better stewards? And we still judge the accounting itself in the same way. Does it hold the right people to account according to the right standards in proportion to their performance? How should we be accounting for firms' environmental and social performance? Most current approaches fall short because while they have a lot of counting, they have too little accounting. They count the good and bad that firms are doing, but they also need to take account of the firm's circumstances. Did they do the best with the assets they had, or did they use them for their own benefit at society's expense? They also fall short because they take account, but they don't hold to account. An account of performance doesn't help if it isn't used to steer someone toward better performance. So there's a lot of work to do, and moral accounting can help spell out the right goals and the right ways to do it. Since the pandemic began, we've seen so many people leaving the workforce. It's being called the Great Resignation. Moral accounting reminds us that it isn't enough to steer workers toward employers' ends. We also have a moral obligation to treat workers well. In many companies, no one had the will or power to enforce that obligation, but now workers are doing just that. They're voting with their feet, maybe to another firm in a strong job market, but often to retirement. And of course, many workers are just leaving the office to work from home. And this new hybrid workplace poses a bunch of questions. Who should be allowed or encouraged to be remote, and who should stay in the office? How should a choice to work from home affect performance evaluations and promotions? How should employers balance the concrete benefits of remote work against the fuzzy costs of losing workplace culture? And who should bear the many costs of commuting? Not just time, hassle, and pollution, but inflated housing costs and less opportunity to help out with family and community. These are tough questions, but moral accounting gives us a framework for answering them.